Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once a week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was like, I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell, so you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. On today's episode, your calls and your stories about the undead coming back to haunt you. Our phone number is 855-853-4802.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us, or you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Our Facebook group, Real Ghost Stories Online group. Search it, join it, and engage in the conversation throughout the week, as the kids like to say. Grave Talks, make sure you check that out too. That's the other podcast. Press subscribe on that one, and I'll say it one more time, although probably like three or four more times. Bunk Bed Bells, last chance at those with a yearly EPP membership. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com to claim those before they are gone, because they will be gone. I'm thinking the beginning of October is when we're going to be switching to our new item. Tony and Sean joining you on today's episode. And how are you this fine day?
You know, I'm good. I have some cold coffee. I have some beef jerky in my life. Things are good.
Cold coffee by choice, or is it like cold brew coffee?
I haven't gone to the staff kitchen in a while to get a warm up.
And now you just, it's what's left in the cup. I understand that. I do that for like half of my morning. Have you tried the cold brew coffee that's all the rage now?
No, because much like kale, I believe it is just a fad. And I don't need to get a cold brew coffee. I can just get a cup of regular coffee, wait about 37 minutes, and there's your cold brew.
It's amazing. It's amazing how that works. Some people swear by it. I've not made it myself. I've tried like the Starbucks version of it and was like, oh, this is just like coffee that was from yesterday, wasn't it? And you stopped heating it at some point and put ice on it and called it cold brew and charged me an extra dollar. That's my feelings on it. But I know some are like, oh, you can taste the bark a lot more from the trees where the coffee beans grow. Is it a tree or a bush?
In the aftertaste of me breathing in your face, it's just there's so much so much stronger of a scent.
All the hemp oil in my hair, some of it seeped out and into your coffee.
My golden doodle likes to jog a bit faster if I have my cold brew in my mug.
It makes it that much better.
It's an urban dog park. It's organic.
An organic dog park, which really, because it doesn't make any sense because it's not something that can exist. But I can guarantee if you called it that, you would have hundreds more people go, oh, I only go to the organic dog park.
My golden doodle Oliver, he only goes organic number twos because Dr. Melanson, he has him on an organic grain food. Yeah, so that's okay.
I love it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. What's that?
No idea what that whole little chat back and forth was. I apologize. I'm back, though, now. And the beef jerky was amazing.
I'm glad you enjoyed the beef jerky. It's a good thing to enjoy. Let's jump over to our first call in a few minutes. We'll chat a little bit about Halloween candy now that that's out in the stores again. But let's get into a ghost story here. Almost a goat story, but that's for April Fools, where we only take goat stories. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear a story.
My name is Nicole, and I have a story that happened about 7 or 8 years ago. At the time, I was living with my grandmother before she passed, and it was around 8 or 9 p.m., and I was hanging out with two friends, and we were sitting in the backyard talking. And one of my friends got up to go to the living room. Now, leading outside to the backyard is a large sliding door. And from the sliding door, you can see the dining room and the hallway leading into the living room and the front window. So I'm sitting right in front of the door, watching my friend walk to the living room, which the lights and the TV was on. And I figured he was just going to watch TV. He stands next to the TV, which faces the front door next to the window, and I notice that a guy is standing in front of the window, and I never forgot what he looked like. He was blonde, had a Hawaiian shirt, styled shirt, and what really made me notice him was he had huge round eyes that seemed to have light beaming out of them. They were so huge, they looked like they took up all the space where he should have eyebrows, but he didn't have any. He had a big grin, and it showed like he had tiny teeth that were spaced out. He was staring right at me, and he just waved. And at the exact moment, my friend noticed that he was there, and he rushed to the front door. And as he did, he passed the window and the guy where he was standing, and he just disappeared. He was gone. I ran into the living room, and I asked my friend why he went outside, and I was kind of scared that he was, he didn't see the same thing I did. And he said, oh, I saw someone at the window. And I said, oh, was he blonde? And he's like, yeah, but his eyes. And I really freaked out, and I was like, they were huge, weren't they? And he said, yes. Now, nobody could be standing so close to the window because there was stuff outside blocking anyone from standing too close to peek in. But yeah, I don't know what he was doing there. Once before, we saw, my friend and I saw him. My sister and I thought we saw somebody running outside in broad daylight, and it looked like he had the same styled shirts, but we only got a glimpse of his shirt, and he was turning around the corner to run into the backyard. And we ran out there to see who was there, because kind of weird, we didn't expect anybody to come over, and we found nobody. Now, I've tried looking up information about ghosts or entities with huge eyes with lights beaming out of them, and have found nothing. Now, if you have any idea or thoughts on what this is, I'd like to know. Thank you very much.
I think if she added Hawaiian shirt to that search, that search inquiry, maybe she would have had had a few more pieces of luck, because it's very common knowledge that men in Hawaiian shirts that come back as ghosts, eyes are always glowing. Are you aware of that?
Is that 100% facetious made-up statement by you?
100%. Absolutely. What's going through my mind is like Ghostbusters 2 and the painter guy who was walking through the halls with the glowing eyes. And I thought that was such a freaky image or idea. I can't imagine actually seeing that in real life. That would be terrifying.
Yes. And when you have something that you see that looks fairly normal, where you almost believe you're just seeing a person,
yeah,
a person that's alive, and then they have something that is totally outlandish with the eyes and lights and lasers, and that would absolutely freak me out, because I would at first think, oh, I'm seeing somebody.
Yeah.
And then I see their eyes, and that's when I have to use the restroom. Or no longer do I have to use the restroom, because I would have then just used the restroom.
Right there. Yeah. It's an odd thing, and I'm not going down the road that this was a demon. I don't know, but there's a lot of times where there's been stories on the show of someone saying, I thought it was my aunt, and we were just sitting around, and she had recently died, and everyone was really sad and depressed, and then there she was, but it didn't feel like her. And I took a good look at this woman that was standing in the foyer of the house, and I noticed something was off. And her ear was reversed or something like that. Usually when there's something dark or it's something that's mimicking someone else to make you think that it is your loved one, almost every time I found there's one trait that's off, and you sometimes don't catch it because you're in just such shock of what the hell you're seeing. But sometimes if you're really getting a good look at it and it's that clear to you, there's usually one piece that is not right. Like a leg is reversed, an ear is backwards. It sounds strange. I mean, it's strange enough for that to happen, but that seems to be the key to it being, oh, this is something trying to look like this to manipulate to gain trust. But usually one thing seems to be off. I don't know if that's the case in this, because she didn't seem to recognize the guy at all. But obviously strange with glowing eyes.
I saw Incredibles 2 on Monday, Labor Day.
Uh-huh.
And that is immediately what I thought of, which was kind of nice because, again, this is terrifying.
Sure.
But then, have you seen Incredibles 2 as of yet?
I have not, but the children have.
Okay, we'll talk to one or both of them after we chat here and talk about the glowing eyes, because that's it's a big part of the movie. I don't want to give it away.
Okay, I'll chat with them, and next time you see them, you'll have a lot to talk about.
There you go.
855-853-4802, our phone number, at Real Ghost Stories Online. I did hear it was good. I did like the first one. I think the first one I saw on an airplane like years ago. And I don't even remember like how it went, but I thought, you know, when this comes out, I will see it. So when it gets to video, I'll check it out. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, hi. This is Anne from New York. How are you? I'm doing all right.
Good.
Well, anyway, the story I have for you is about a murderous playmate that I had when I was a child. My mother told me this story. She had apparently seen the ghostly girl too. I was approximately 3 years old, and my mother and I were in the living room. I was doing what three-year-olds do, playing with toys and whatnot. And my mother said that suddenly she felt very heavy and very tired, as if she couldn't move. And so she laid down on the couch just to stretch out and, you know, watch me play. And all of a sudden, she said that she saw this little girl just sort of shimmer into existence. And this little girl kept trying to lead me to the door of the apartment. Now, this apartment was above an auto garage, and it was approximately, well, I would say a two-story fall. And the stairs were incredibly steep and rickety. And this little girl kept trying to get me to go outside and play with her. And so I got up and I toddled over to the door. And about that time, my mother said she don't know how she found the strength, because she didn't feel like she could move, but she screamed at me and she scared me. And that little girl, she said, turned around and looked at her with so much malevolence and then just simply vanished. Now, my mother did a little bit of research on this apartment after that had happened. Come to find out, the previous owners of the garage that used to live there lived in that apartment, and their little girl had gotten, they were sleeping, and she had gotten up one night and decided she was going to go play outside, and she fell down those stairs and broke her neck. And well, that's the story of my ghostly playmate. I hope you enjoyed my story. I do have more. I have some about my not so murderous grandfather. I really hope that I can hear you talk to you guys again soon. All right, thank you, and have a good night.
I guess I was expecting there to be a murderous twist because she's calling it a murderous child. Am I missing something here as to why the murderous adjective was used to describe the girl?
I suppose that how when she broke her neck, I'm thinking she She died?
Yeah, I mean, that would be dead, but that's, I mean, I was afraid that she was going to say, and this little girl got up in the middle of the night and went and decided to murder her family. That's where I really thought it was going. I didn't think it was going to be she fell down the stairs and died. That's not murderous. That's tragic, but I don't know. I think maybe it's just a case of words being used incorrectly, but...
There was a lot going on there with her mom not being able to move.
Yeah.
And then the curveball of apparently the reasoning that her mom couldn't move was from this little girl who then ends up falling down a flight of stairs and breaking her neck.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it was, you know, there's something, and I wonder if it is the little girl or if it's something else that's trying to look like the little girl. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I was in, where was it? I was in Walmart today, actually, and it's not an advertisement for Walmart, but Halloween candy galore everywhere. And I was just perusing it, seeing what's out this year, what's new this year. And I just thought, yeah, you know, it's everywhere now. We're talking about it. Looking back on your childhood, let's throw it out there. I know it's a conversation. It's probably the most cliche radio-esque conversation we could have. But what was your favorite Halloween candy as a child?
Thank you, Tony. 11 after the hour, 49 till the top, 72. Partly cloudy this afternoon. And I tell you what, growing up, southeastern Wisconsin with my cape and vampire makeup and my fake fangs, almost like a little retainer, but plastic teeth. Going to the doors, knocking trick-or-treat, and I tell you what, in addition to the popcorn balls and the nickels that I was lucky enough to get, the number one favorite for me, the Crunch Bar.
Yeah. What do you got? Least favorite?
I'll answer that with a nice little tutorial of how to eat candy corn.
You don't like candy corn?
Throw it in the trash.
Even when you were really little, when it was like...
Eat candy corn, throw it in the garbage.
Did you have a traumatic experience with candy corn or the little pumpkins or something?
Not traumatic. I think I just... Well, actually, it was very traumatic. I chose to eat it. And upon chewing... I believe candy corn is, it's kind of like if black licorice and chalk made a baby. It
would be candy corn.
And clearly candy corn would be adopted because when you look at black licorice and you look at chalk, no resemblance.
No resemblance at all. I loved candy corn when I was a kid, but I was trying to get to like, did you like eat too much of it one Halloween and throw it up? And then it's like, I can't eat this ever again, or just never liked it.
You know, I'm not really a picky eater. There's very few things that I don't like, them being mustard, green olives. Let me think here. And candy corn.
There you go. That's a good thing to know, especially in Wisconsin, where probably candy corn is a drink garnish at some point, just like green olives are.
Those candy where you had the, and this is going to be a terrible story because I'm forgetting what I'm talking about as I'm talking, but they had the candy canes. They had kind of your main Christmas candies, but then they had dishes where they were the alternates. Like they were like the lettuce of the candy bowl.
Okay.
And they were horrendous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They just, I mean, black licorice was a flavor. There was also an almost wintergreen or almost peppermint, and they looked lovely. But then you ate them, and you contemplated why you're still alive.
Are these hard candies you're talking? Is this Christmas now we're on to, and hard candies?
Christmas, Halloween, holiday candy. Yeah, it was the filler candies.
One of the filler candies that I remember a lot of in Wisconsin at Halloween was what they called peanut butter kisses, and I thought they were disgusting. It was a mixture of earwax and I think melted peanut or like year or 2 year, 5 year old, 20 year old peanut butter maybe is what it would taste like. Those are those things in the yellow wrapper and the black wrapper, and it's like a wax paper wrapper. I
not
hate
bit of honey.
No, not bit of honey, but they were almost of that same texture.
Okay.
And they supposedly had like a little bit of, it was almost like saltwater taffy with a thing of peanut butter in the middle, but they were horrible. My dad loved them, so of course I hated them. And it wasn't because we're in opposite in every single way we could possibly be opposite. But it's I hated those things. And I think they're more so of that generation, too. I think they were much more popular candy in the 60s and 70s and such.
Final question. And it's interesting because I believe all of those candy, even yesterday, you'd see them. They're all from about 1974. What is the most underrated Halloween candy slash candy?
Most underrated candy.
You don't really think of it, and then somebody, you know, you get that in your pumpkin.
Yeah.
And you, these are good.
I got to think about that for a second. Let's do a call. Think about it. You probably already have your answer. Think about it, and then also think about what's the worst Halloween thing to get in your candy bag other than candy, and we'll get to that right after this hit from Celine Dion. Here's another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Brent. I live in Evansville, Indiana, and you guys have had stories on your show before that were relayed. Someone called and said, my friend had this experience and told me about it. That's what happened here. I actually was not directly involved, but in a way, I'm kind of happy. As much as I love the paranormal, this is not something I'd really want to be part of. But here in Evansville, we have income-based housing units. One of them is a place called White Oak Manor. I love it. I just moved out a couple months ago. But less than a month after I moved in, a friend of mine who lived there and I were sitting outside talking, and he explained what happened to him. There is definitely activity in that building. I've heard more than one story from different parts of the building of people who have had paranormal things happen to them on a regular basis. But what he told me was that at one time, he lived in apartment 412, and he had multiple paranormal things happen to him. But one night, I mean, whatever this thing was, it was bad. One night, he's listening to a CD, and the CD starts to warp and sound really weird. So he's getting up to change the song, or you know, fiddle with it to make it sound better. Something grabs him, drags him across his apartment, and he ends up with bite marks from whatever this thing is. It freaked him out. So it's about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. He goes outside to the smoking area because he's freaked out at this point. So he sits there, and his buddy Mike is out there. Mike believes in the paranormal. He likes it just like I do. And he sits out there talking to Mike, and he just kind of casually says, well, I haven't even had my morning coffee yet. And he explains what happened to Mike. And Mike says, okay, let's go see if we can get EVPs. Mike grabs his little digital audio recorder. They head up there. Mike immediately feels something when they get to the apartment. But they go in, and they check the place out. Everything seems to be all right. But when they play it back, as they're approaching the apartment, you literally hear a deep voice say, morning coffee. Which, to my friend, it sank in hard with him because it meant that whatever it was outside with him. I guess it's his way of saying that you can't get away from me by going outside. But it seems that after that, because he had bite marks all over his body. He had bite marks in places you can't reach with your mouth. So he couldn't have done it himself. All right. But after this happened, he tells me the activity kind of calmed down. So him and I kind of agreed that it had gone too far and pushed the envelope too much to where any more of this crap, and he's going to start, you know, trying to get rid of me, so I better start being good. But it was definitely a bad spirit. And I had only lived in the building for maybe 2 or 3 weeks at this point, but I was living alone. So I thought it was a good idea. After that discussion, I sat and talked to him forever that night. But after that discussion, I walked back to my apartment, and going inside, I stood there, and I decided to have a little chat with anything I might have. I'd never had anything happen to me, but standing in my apartment, I decided just to address whatever might be there and explain, because I am a Christian. I'm not a very good Christian, I'll admit it. I'm not, you know, the best when it comes to following the rules, but I am a Christian, so I come inside and I lock my door and I say, if anything's here, if you don't honor the Lord Jesus, get out of my apartment. And if you're going to be evil toward me or my dog or my family, get out of my apartment. And I actually never had anything happen. I did have a friend who is sensitive come to the building, and she said my apartment seemed clear of anything. But we went down the elevator into the main area of the apartment building where the office is. Right when you get off the elevator, as you're turning, you're going to go around to go to the back. As you get off that elevator, she said she felt a very bitter, angry woman. And it actually disturbed her a little bit because she did not like the vibe she got off this lady. But it was a spirit of just a vicious old woman. So that's my story. Hope you guys like it. It'd be cool to hear it on the show. I do listen. Not an EPP. Maybe I should become one. Right now, we got to think about finances. But it doesn't cost that much, so subscribing wouldn't be a bad idea. Plus, I get to hear that extra episode each week. But you guys have a good day. Bye.
You're exactly right. It doesn't cost that much. It's worth becoming an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Uh-huh. Okay, thank you for that story. Really do appreciate you calling in and sharing that. You know, when you hear the bite mark thing and you hear that sort of a story, you kind of sometimes jump to the conclusion of demonic, dark, evil. Not oftentimes is it associated with Edna, who lived down the hall, who hated the world and everything in it, including her 12 cats. But it's not usually thought that maybe Edna is biting you in places that you could probably not reach yourself. But I guess it could be a possibility in this story. Thoughts?
All right. Take on that is sometimes you come back as a part of the person's personality you did not know mm-hmm. existed. In the case of his friend was outside and heard morning coffee, is that correct?
Yeah.
And then the bite mark. He mentioned he had a dog.
Yeah.
So quite possibly the bite and the voice that was heard may be two different beings. It may be somebody, whether it's Edna with a cat
mm-hmm.
or somebody with their dog.
Yeah.
So the assumption is the voice and the bite is from the same person.
Sure.
But maybe somebody wanted to come over, have some morning coffee, and their dog, even though he or she is not alive anymore, still likes to randomly freak out and bite people.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of activity in that building. I think you got a better point than I do. And I was kind of being kind of sarcastic with it. But I think you're right. I mean, there's a very likelihood that there is a likelihood that there's probably more than one thing going on in that facility. Even more importantly, what's the most overrated Halloween candy? To you.
Underrated or overrated?
Overrated. Oh, did you say underrated? Underrated. Yeah, underrated. When you get it and you're like, oh, great. Let's go with underrated. That's what you asked earlier. I would say I'm kind of at a tie with this because I got very few of these ever. But when I did, it was that, oh, wow, Sixlets and Heath bars.
Ooh, good.
Sixlets, you know, which is made of the fake chocolate, the carob. And I always could like never tell much of a difference. I always enjoyed the Sixlets. I get it for like dime candy at Prangy Way with my allowance because I got like 3/4 or something. And I always loved those. And you got a lot for a dime. And Heath, I've always loved toffee. And it just was one of those kind of candies that didn't show its head all that much back then. When I go to the store today and look at all the Halloween candy, Heath is in like every chocolate mix bag that there is. But back then, it wasn't that common of a candy.
The Heath bar, you trick-or-treated on the other side of the tracks. That's that's an up.
And if you got a Score bar, remember?
Was it the full? Score is the BMW of Heath.
It is
more of Honda.
Yeah,
score is the BMW, a little sportier chocolate, the full bar or the trial size?
I only got trial size. I think I maybe got a full size candy bar once in my life when I was a kid trick or treating.
And it was from your mother. She put it in your pumpkin when you weren't looking.
Exactly. There was no house in the neighborhood. It's like, ooh, they have the big candy bars. No, not in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Nobody's generous.
400 kids, 400 candy bars, and we're going to take a second mortgage out on our apartment. So I had a tie as well. And I say this because you got a lot of them, but you almost thought that you had so much better things that you never really paid attention to them. Dots.
The things that get stuck in your teeth.
Correct.
They're like juji fruits.
Boxes.
Yeah.
Like fruit snacks slash little, they almost look like the mushroom. Who is that? Toadstool from Mario?
Yeah.
That shape. Because you never really ate them, or at least I never really ate them because you had all the chocolate and then it had what have you. And then finally, I'm almost empty. I may as well have these. And you realize when you get past the sticking in between your teeth, these are actually really good. Also, hot tamales.
Yeah, and I would give those to my mom if I got them because I don't like cinnamon candy.
Really?
No.
Not so like candy corn.
I could do candy corn just fine.
So that is some definitive differences here, but not a fan of this. You don't like cinnamon candy or you don't like cinnamon in general?
I like cinnamon in food, not in candy. I'm fine with like cinnamon apple. I'm fine with the scent of cinnamon. I'm fine with it in desserts. I don't like Red Hots. I don't like Fireballs. I don't like it in candy. It's just one of my things I don't like.
What did Big Red do to you?
I'm not a big fan of Big Red either. I would go with Juicy Fruit if I had a choice.
Dentine?
Dentine wasn't as powerful cinnamon as like Big Red was. Sure. So I could do the Dentine. Keep thinking about the worst thing you could get in your Halloween bag outside of candy, and we'll get to that right after this call. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your real ghost story.
Hey guys, my name is Amber, and I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I wanted to share, probably, I've had a lot of experiences in my life, but probably my favorite one is the one where my grandmother went from she was a very big non-believer in that kind of stuff. So there was a time in her life that she actually started believing in that. Was I was probably around, I would say probably 11 or 12, and I was over at her house one day, and I was just chilling in the living room watching TV, and she was in the dining room sitting at the table just doing something, I don't know, but she eventually came into the living room and told me to turn off the TV because she wanted to show me something. And So turn off the TV, and she shows me this picture and asks me if I notice anything about it. And I look at the picture, and it's just, you know, a picture of an older house that somebody was sitting out front of and took a picture of. And I was like, yeah, just told her that. That was all I saw. And she said, look closer. And I kept looking and couldn't see anything. Until finally she pointed in the area of a picture and said, what do you see right here? And then it took me a little bit for my eyes to adjust. But then finally I saw, my eyes started seeing the outline of a figure, which turned into, you know, a man waving and leaning against something. And I was like, okay, now I'm seeing it. That's really creepy. What is this? Where did you get this? And she actually told me that her and her sister had went to this house that was actually their house when they were kids, that them and the family lived in. And they went back there not too long ago and took, you know, a bunch of pictures around the place, you know, reminiscing and whatnot. And that was one of the pictures. And, you know, she had just been sitting at the dining room table going through them, looking at them because she had just gotten them back. And she saw that. And it was really creepy. I wish I still had the picture to this day, but I don't. And I don't know where it is. My grandmother is, she's passed away now. So I never got to ask her where that was and if I could keep it or whatever. But, yeah, very, very creepy. And every time that I looked at it after my eyes finally made out what it was, you could clearly see him just standing there, man waving, leaning up against something on the porch of that house. But the creepiest thing about it all is that, you know, after she finished telling me that that was their house, they were taking pictures, everything, she got very teary-eyed, and she was like, you know, I have never in my life believed in ghosts. I've always, you know, she's never had any experiences before. She's just always, you know, written it off as something else in her mind, if, you know, if anything. So she's always been a very big skeptic. But, she said, seeing this has really changed me. And she got teary-eyed, and she was like, because I really feel like that's my dad on that front porch, that was my dad there on that front porch waving back at us. And that's when, you know, I got major chill bumps when she said that to me. And I was like, just speechless, you know, because what do you say? And she's like, so, yeah, she said that she really believes that that was her father there at their house that they used to live in as kids way back in the 30s, you know. And there he was, you know, when they snapped that picture there on the front porch waving at them. So, really, really creepy, but very, very cool. But, you know, my favorite kinds of stories, experiences are the ones where people that were very big skeptics become believers. So not a very long story, but I just thought it would be cool to share with you guys, and I hope to hear it on your podcast. And, yeah, so I just actually started recently listening to your podcast this month, and I'm probably like 15, 20 episodes in, and I'm absolutely obsessed with it now. I listen to it every day on the way to work, on the way back from work, just whenever I can, when I'm in my car, and it's amazing. You guys are wonderful and do such a great job. So, yep, thank you.
At work, in the car, all day long, we play today's best variety of continuous ghost stories. We're Real Ghost Stories Online.
Boo all morning, boo all night.
That's where you have to go into a song. I was waiting for you to hit like a cold intro or something. Oh. I'm really disappointed. Again, we play today's best variety of ghost stories. We're Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah, how about that?
Damn it, you were supposed to go with a song.
Where is it?
You were supposed not you play a song. We were supposed to sing a song. Just break into a song. Break into...
Okay.
Do I have to, you get it? Okay, here we go. We play today's best variety of ghost stories all day long. We're Real Ghost Stories Online.
We built this city.
There we go.
This city on rock and roll.
There we go. That's good. That's. I was expecting a nice cold intro song to something like that. I was going to go with Tonic. If you could, I was going to go Real Ghost Stories Online. If you could only see the
knee deep in the hoopla.
There you go. So yeah, I agree with that. It was probably, you know, sometimes people just know the other people that are around them. And when you have, and if she's feeling that strongly and she's like, that was my dad, you know, you have a certain feeling around certain people, and it's probably a feeling and emotion that she hasn't felt for a long time since he's been around. And if suddenly, boom, that feeling is back, she'd be the one to know. So it's probably exactly what occurred there.
Memories, and you get you hear a certain song, you smell a certain smell, you're in a physical location that just reminds you of somebody that has passed on. But when it gets to that next level, it's that much of a stronger, it just overtakes you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you can't in many situations only the person in that situation can be the best to judge, and that is absolutely her in this story.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, back to the Halloween candy conversation. The worst thing to get in the Halloween bag that was not candy.
Well, much like the most underrated, I had a tie. I have a tie.
Okay.
A toothbrush.
Yeah.
Because when I am scouring my neighborhood for chocolate and more sugar, the first thing I want is a toothbrush, along with a box of raisins.
Yeah. It's like from the bank, those little tiny ones.
Thanks. With a calendar magnet, a calendar on the back.
I would agree. Those are good ones. I would say the wax lips. I've never understood the joy people get out of wax lips. The last thing I want stuck in my teeth is horribly flavored wax. You know, because you have to bite down on those a little bit. I know there was like, well, you don't chew them. I know you don't, you're not supposed to, but why are they flavored? And like, I don't know. I've never understood wax lips or even the wax candy, the little soda pop bottles that had like the three drops of Kool-Aid in. Never understood that one either.
Also a very Wisconsin, I think it's a nationwide brand, Brock's candy.
Brock's is nationwide. I like Brock's. Yeah. Brock's had like a gazillion type of flavors and all different types of candy.
They had candy pumpkins.
Okay.
Which are the cousin of candy corn.
Okay, we're back on the candy corn.
So that would be the mellow cream confections.
Yeah, Brock's. I know what you're talking about. They were like orange and white, correct?
Yeah, and the pumpkins had that little green top there for the handle that you could hold on to and chuck it in the garbage.
I saw those today at Walmart in the Brock's display. I was like, oh, the candy pumpkins are out. Brock's, and this is funny, the Brock's outside of Halloween, Brock's was a nationwide brand, and they used to have those displays in the stores that had just the bins of all the different, like, singly wrapped pieces of candy. And you could put, like, a nickel in and get three pieces in the little tin can if you wanted to, or get the bag and buy it by the pound. Did you put the nickel in?
Absolutely, because I would never be in the grocery store myself. So rather than just take the pieces, my mom would always give me, well, she'd give me a quarter.
Okay. I would, I'm gonna admit, I was never one, I never stole anything as a kid. That was like kind of a, you know, kids in junior high kind of started doing that stuff. The only thing I ever did that I would be along those lines of stealing is I would, when I was old enough to I guess, go to the grocery store by myself, so I don't know, I was probably a teenager of some sort, I would take a penny and I would stick it in the Brock's thing so it made the little ding sound, you know, into the tin case when people are standing around. And they thought, oh, okay, he put his nickel in. And then I would take my three pieces of candy for a penny. And I ripped the store for about 14 cents because I would take my four pieces of candy.
But, and that is the world we live in now is the world we live in now.
It's because of me and that horrible, horrible decision. There was a candy that Brock's made, and I actually brought this up on the show 3 or 4 years ago, and our listeners actually gave me the answer to this question of a Brock's candy. And they're great at this. If you ever have a weird question about some random thing, throw it out there. You'll get an answer. There was a Brock's candy that was like, it was called a fruit disc. And they were little oval shape fruit flavored candies, hard candies. And in the middle was almost like a little dot, but they were like little oval wafer hard candy things. And I loved them. And they were like a staple of every Brock's display. They stopped making them years ago. However, there's like a company in Germany, I think, that makes this exact same product now. And listeners are like, oh, no, I know what you're talking about. I was trying to find them too forever, but I found this company in Germany that makes them. And you can buy them on eBay or Amazon. So I bought like a 5-pound bag of them. 3 or 4 years ago, and they taste the exact same way, and they're delicious, but I do miss those.
I think I just found them. They 5-pound bag, it's $21.
There you go. I still have 2.5 pounds left, and now it's like, you know, jelly because it's a couple years old, but what do you do? Oh, there we go. We've learned a lot about Halloween candy today on the program. Is there any other tidbits of Halloween candy knowledge you'd like to share with the audience before we enter into October?
Don't eat the homemade popcorn balls.
There might be a razor blade in them. You never know. Here's a horrible, morbid question for you. And this would probably be something that will be done today. In fact, I would guess it probably would be. But did anyone ever go as Jeffrey Dahmer for Halloween around Milwaukee?
I mean, probably, to my knowledge, to my recollection.
You ever saw?
I think it was in when I was growing up, probably a too soon.
Yeah, I would think
Hey, who's that? Carl, the windshield repairman? No, that's the guy that ate people. Yeah.
I saw. Oh,
that's hilarious. Karen, give him a candy bar. Give him a whole candy bar. Yeah.
Just,
look at that.
Just make him go away. I saw on something the other night, there's actually Dahmer tours that like go around Milwaukee and people like they meet up. It's like a ghost tour almost, but it's like a Dahmer sightseeing tour where they walk around to the different neighborhoods, like where his apartment was and where shit went down here and there. And it seems incredibly morbid and horrible, mainly because there's, you know, a lot of the family and shit that's still living there. And it's really, in terms of history, not all that far back.
No. This is something that happened, I believe, the mid-90s. Yeah. They should probably put the standby on that tours. Good idea. That's definitely going to have an audience that will partake in it. But maybe wait until immediate family, even extended family, is either moves away or no longer with us.
Yeah, it seemed a little bizarre. It was on a Netflix show called, oh, what was it? It was about like extreme tourism or bizarre tourism or morbid tourism. I forgot what it was called, but it's a new Netflix series. Very interesting series, but I was like, holy shit, I didn't know they did those type of tours. But there you go. All right, that's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month, get all the access to every single bonus episode of the show that we do. Brand new ones every single week. Access to all the advanced episodes as we make them, so you can show us weeks before they go public, and so much more. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com, or sign up to Patreon. The link there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.